Nico!
Hey! How are you?
I couldn't be better.
You couldn't be better. Why is that?
I'm just awesome. I just had my birthday on the 9th.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I've had spectacular calls with your team.
Okay. I want to hear more about that.
They love you. They love Supernova. They love life. And they're just... it's so much fun.
Yeah. Give me one second. Let me just close the door. 1 minute. So, who did you connect with recently?
Well, Amelia, right? Amelia on Monday, and Mijinu today.
Okay.
And, you know, their testimonials at the meeting, I mean, I need some feedback on the meeting from you, but the feedback I'm getting is that, you know, their testimonials were just shockingly cool. I mean, I just thought they what they did took so much courage, and I think it was so moving.
It was great. I think the entire meeting was great. The feedback I got was really good. I know there are several people thinking about doing the program. We'll see. I'm trying to, without being too pushy, but convince them to do it. But the feedback was great, and I agree the testimonials were awesome. But I think when people are excited about what they are doing, they are very open on sharing. So. I think we have created a little bit of a thing here because we have this team and we have our own internal email group of the Supernova FAs and CSAs, and we do our monthly lunches and they share. So now we included Joe Torano into that group, who I think is starting with you, right, Joseph?
Yes.
So I think that motivates them to just kind of be a reference and keep sharing the good news with the people, which is something amazing because in this business, my experience has been a lot about people being jealous and not wanting to share much and just caring about themselves. So it's good to create this environment where people are excited about other people also following their path and being successful, right, and trying to help them. So.
It is, Nico, it's a reflection on you. I'm not blowing smoke. It is you.
Okay, thanks.
No, you're willing to take risks. See, I see me in you, okay? I really do. I mean, we're very similar in the sense that you're willing to take risks. You go forward and then you worry about whether there's going to be any pushback. You really want to help your people. You're very enthusiastic. The amount that you care for your people comes through. The fact that your team wants to collaborate and help each other, that's you. That's you. That's all you. That's you creating that environment where it's safe and it's good to help each other. That doesn't happen. A lot of people create a very fear-based, negative, scary environment, okay? And so people hide and are worried about getting fired and all this other junk. It's just terrible. So, anyway, not dwell on that at all. I will tell you, your ladies are... Now, how much of it actually comes through, I don't know, but they are killing it.
So, yeah, you feel?
Oh, my God. It's a complete transformation.
Yeah.
For both of them. Complete. I mean, I think Amelia is going to be one of your biggest producers.
Okay. I hope. She certainly has the potential. So.
She's going to be one of your biggest producers. I'm telling you that. Sure. I know it. I can feel it. She has tremendous skills. I went back and looked at her resume because when I got her, I never bothered, you know. She was sort of a meek little thing. And so I just coached her. And I went back and read her resume. I mean, she is smart. I mean, you know.
She's very smart. Yeah. She's very smart.
University of Pennsylvania, Wharton School. Mm-hmm. Then she went to the MBA from London School.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and she's got good pedigree. She knows people.
Yes. Yes. She does. Listen, it's funny because that's exactly what I saw when I hired her, and that for whatever reason, she was not able to bring it to life. So I'm really excited because I think that, all of that you've seen is what excited me when I hired her. So I'm glad that she's finally, you've been able to help her.
Well, here's what happens, okay? When I first started coaching her, in all these teams, as you know, the story, it was story, 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 right? Why I can't succeed. I mean, it's so interesting psychologically how this has evolved. I mean, from the Puerto Rico team, you know, you even said to me, you know, this is where they were. They were, and now they're back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Amelia was the same thing. I don't have a sales assistant. I can't work. You know, our team is too far away. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Story, story, story. All of that's gone. No story, story. It's all about acquisition. It's all about excitement. It's all about the people she's meeting. It's all about the opportunities. And the same thing with every person. Seriously, every team I'm coaching, the stories go away, and they just focus on acquisition. It's like a miracle. And it's not me, okay? They're there. They're capable. It's your support and a combination of them seeing themselves as very capable. Supernova gives them confidence. So, anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's... I think it has a lot to do with you. I mean, I truly do. I mean, because, as I said, I had Amelia, and I saw the same potential. And I was meeting with her for a long time, and we would meet. And listen, a simple example I tell her all the time, I kind of just make joke of her, saying, I told you a year and a half ago that you should prospect in the morning. And you said, no, because whatever, blah, blah, blah. Until you started to pay Rob, and then Rob told you to prospect in the morning, and you started prospecting in the morning. And now you tell everybody how you change your dynamic and how it's working. But what I'm trying to say is there is something there that you may then realize and feel, whatever, that they need to do things different, that they gave them confidence. You made them feel what the potential was and start to focus on the positive rather than on the excuses. So I think that's a huge thing, and it has to do with you. I mean, it's definitely has to do with you, which is one of the things I'm kind of learning and trying to incorporate. But it's, if you think about it, it's as small and as little and basic as that is, that's all the change, right?
Right.
Because they have the potential they always had. I mean, the resume was the same, the contacts were the same, everything was the same. But the attitude was completely different. So that changing of attitude is what you've produced, and what we need to generate on those people is that change of attitude and focus.
Let me tell you what I told them, okay? Let me tell you the story. I said, you're playing a disc in your brain right now, okay? Everybody is. Everybody's got a little story they're telling themselves every day. And the question is that story in your best interest? Does that story help you? Okay? I'm not going to suggest that there's an answer to that, but just think about it. Now, what if we make up a new story and play that disc? But we know that the new story is in your best interest, okay? The new story will make you feel good about yourself. The new story that you keep playing over and over is one, and this is the story I tell them. I said, this is what I did. Okay, I'll just tell you what I did. When I started, everybody's afraid. Okay, it's all, the issue is fear. We can dance around it. We can say it's something else, but it's always fear. Fear of something. Okay, in their case, it's just fear of rejection. Fear of, I'm not good enough, tall enough, smart enough. You know? So, what I said was this. I said, when I started, I made up a story in my head that I was the savior of the investors. That if they didn't do business with me, they would go into the hands of evil people.
Okay.
And at that time, it was E.F. Hutton. Okay? I said, they'll go over to E.F. Hutton and they'll take all their money. Okay? Now, E.F. Hutton wasn't a bad place, but I made him a bad place. Okay? And so, that was my story. And every day I came in, I was a warrior to protect the world from bad people. I said, think of yourself on the hero's journey, right? Like the Wizard of Oz or any great hero's journey. It's always a reluctant peasant girl, in many cases, who doesn't want to leave the village. She's very safe. But because there's a terrible dragon out there that's killing the people, she's got to put on the armor and go out and face the dragon and kill him. And it's usually a number of different things that she has to do. You know, in Indiana Jones, he was the hero, reluctantly leaving the university to go save his father. And in the end, he had to fight, he had to get through five different trials to finally cross the invisible bridge, finally get the Holy Grail, right? And that's the typical hero's journey. And that's what you are on, Amelia. You're on a hero's journey, reluctant hero, to go out and slay the dragon every day. And your job is to go out and fight. Okay? You're going to do your best. You don't need to win every day. You're just going to go out and fight. And to protect the world from the evil Bernie Madoff of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's what I want you to think about. That's the record I want you to play in your head every day. And so she did. Now, she may have heard it differently, and she'll tell you her story, but she's got it now. She's got the story playing. And it's not, I don't have a good enough sales assistant, I don't have enough support, or I don't have this, or I'm not tall enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty enough. It's, I'm a warrior, and I'm going out, and I'm going to win. And protect the world from evil people. And that's the same thing. So when Mijanu got up there and said, I decided that I needed to attack. Instead of sitting back on my skis, I had to attack the hill. Okay? So she's the same thing. She's the hero in her own mind, out slaying the dragon every day. And they're loving it. They're loving it. And they're doing it. See, once you get past that, then it's a question of how do I win the war? How do I beat the dragon? It's not should I leave the village. It's how do I beat the dragon? Give me the armor, give me the sword, give me the spear. I need to kill the dragon. How do I outsmart the dragon? And so for me, it's so much fun because they're just like sponges now. They're just sucking this stuff up. I'll give you an example. Today we were talking about the enthusiast. Well, Amelia has a big introduction. She's been given a fabulous introduction from a CPA to a new person moving into town. Mm-hmm. And she can tell you. I don't want to, you know. But has she told you this?
I'm not sure she told me that story.
Okay, it's a big one, okay? Stand by. She may not want to tell you yet.
It's not a guy from Atlanta, right? That he's opening? No, different.
Different, yeah. I think they're from Venezuela family. Daughter's moving in. Okay, and anyway, So she said, what can I do for her? Because this family has, you know, a lot of ton of money. And the daughter's going to have a lot of money, but nothing compared to what she will have. And she said, what can I do? I said, remember the enthusiastic endorsement? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, you've got the CPA and attorney referring them to you. Go to them and ask them who would be the right realtor for his need, because she's going to need an apartment. Then she's going to need all the things. She's going to need a designer for the apartment. She's going to need a concierge physician. She's going to need concierge travel agent. She's going to need, you know, everything that a new person would need, right? A doctor, gynecologist, dentist. You get that list and you give it to her. She doesn't have to take it and use them all, but you introduce her personally to the critical ones. You will make a friend for life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like over the moon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she had more. She's like this story and then that story. And then the same thing with Nishino. The girls are on fire. Okay?
don't make her resign to the manager role. Okay? Because then I'm in trouble.
I'm trying to
make sure that it doesn't take much of her time, so I'm doing a heavy lifting there because I need her there.
No, I'm teaching her how to teach. You know, we have in medicine, they have a saying called learn it, do it, teach it, okay?
Uh-huh, yes.
So I'm teaching her how to teach what she's doing. I said that'll make you a better financial advisor. You don't really learn it till you teach it. I said, so you're going to be the expert at this by teaching it to others. So learn it, do it, teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's forming two different mastermind groups, which are going to be spectacular. She's meeting people and networking now. I mean, she is going to be big. You gave me two good ones there.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And they're both great endorsers. And I know Amelia is talking to everybody about joining the program. She had she's meeting with someone from downtown office to convince them to do it. And I know Mizano is also talking to one of his guys there, her guys there to do it too. And yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I know, and it's so good. I'm so happy to help you. I think it's a wonderful. So we should look. Let's take this to the extreme, okay? I mean, you know me. If it's good, let's make it great. let's think about not now, but let's think about closing the loop again. And having me come back in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And do it again. Oh, and just keep doing it again until we get everybody.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the leverage you're going to get out of this is spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I really am convinced. See, you get it. Everybody else is too busy. You're too busy being administrative. Yeah.
Let me ask you something. There are a couple of guys that are considering this and that, right?
Yep.
What's your advice? What should I do to just get them? This is my fear, right? Which I'm kind of losing now. But my fear is I don't want to push. I want to make sure that anyone that starts the program with you and agrees to start the program, they are in the right mindset. They are not pushed to do it. They are convinced that they want to do it. So that's where I'm kind of letting them somehow decide it, right? I kind of talk to them, ask them, encourage them, but I don't want to push anybody to do it because I think it would be a mistake if someone jumps into it without being ready and convinced. So, but on the other hand, as we are talking, I mean, we are seeing the results. There's no one person that is not happy about it and doing it. So what's your advice in terms of how much to push?
All right, so listen, learn this from me, okay? There's a five-step process in getting somebody true enthusiasm. Okay? It's called curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're trying to convince somebody to do anything, you have to get them from the curiosity stage to the enthusiastic stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So curiosity, they're curious about it, curious enough to go to the meeting. Now, curiosity, interest, they're interested enough to read the book. Curiosity, interest, knowledge. Now, what's the next stage? What would be good they should talk to a person that's already been through the program, right? And then they should talk to me in a conference call.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then they will get to the belief stage. And then once they're in the program, they get to the enthusiastic stage. You can't expect them to get to enthusiasm because you've talked to them once and they've been to a meeting.
Okay, yeah. So,
mm-hmm. My attitude is this also. You don't expect, it isn't the right, it's right for, frankly, it's right for everyone. But it's sometimes not the right time for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, he needs another 6 months, or he needs a year, or whatever. But then he'll do it. Then he should do it. Or, you know, maybe he should never do it because he's a selfish person. You know, the people that are takers, this isn't a good program for them. I mean, it is, but it's not as good as that. When people are truly giving people, they love this. Okay?
Okay.
Think about it this way. When we're trying to determine if somebody is going to be a good center of influence, people say to me all the time, I've given this guy like 5 introductions and clients, and he's given me nobody. I said, either one, he doesn't have the kind of clients that you need, or he's a taker.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do business and have centers of influence that are givers like you, people that want to genuinely want to help you.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay? So I can't help a person that's a taker. Okay? I mean, I can. They'll take my program and they'll run with it. They'll do great with it. But
mm-hmm.
the truth is that a giver is going to want to do this. You know, they genuinely want to help people. And because this takes work. You know, if you've got a lazy person, this is not, be careful, though, that the laziness is not a mask for fear. Sometimes people aren't really lazy. They're just scared.
Okay. Yeah, I have an idea. I have an idea for the next step with some of these people.
Okay.
Good. To get them to the belief and to the, to the knowledge and belief from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nico, memorize that, okay? Memorize that 5-step process for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need that in teaching. You need to have that as part of your mantra, part of what you teach and how you teach. It's also an important thing to remind yourself when you get frustrated.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
It's your job to get to move them along the path.
Yes.
That journey, it's not their job, okay? That's your job.
That's a big truth, yeah.
Right?
And sometimes we just hope that they move from one step to the other, from curiosity to enthusiastic.
You just want them to come to a
overnight.
Meeting and be enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like the different ways that people learn. You striate learning in lots of different ways, but one of the things is you get your eager learners, right? These are the people that every idea is a great idea. They jump up and down. They go to a meeting and they adopt it, right?
Yeah.
They're your eager learners. They can't wait to have a new idea. But the problem is they take bad ideas and good ideas. They don't always have that filter. And then you have people from that all the way back to, I'm going to have everybody else try this and make sure that it works for all of them before I'll even look at it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're just moving your way through that continuum of reluctant learners, from eager learners to reluctant learners, and you just have to be patient with the process. Okay, so the process is get them to the meeting, okay, listen to a testimonial from one of your people, have them read the book, do a conference call with me, and then sign up for the training, and then once they're in it for 5 or 6 or 7 weeks, then they'll hit the enthusiasm. But you can't really shortcut it for the average person.
Okay. Yeah. That's good thoughts. Yeah, I remember we spoke about this in the past.
Yeah,
but sometimes I get anxious and you want someone to go attend your meeting and come out and enroll. it's not how it happens.
The personal attention that you give, you think, well, I don't want to push them too much. No, it's the opposite. The more personal attention you give them, the more they'll believe that you believe. Okay? Remember my 5-time rule?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
It's my job to introduce it 5 different ways before I hold them responsible?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what happens is you're going to have lots of people that appreciate your attention, and just the fact that you give them that attention will make them sign up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. How's he going with Andres?
Good. He's a riot. You know, he's unique. I think he's smart. He's thoughtful. It's not as simple a nut to crack as the girls.
Uh-huh.
I think he's going to, you know, we're going to spend some time. He wanted to be kind of all over the place a little bit, and I have to narrow him down. He is going to go to Chile. You know, I told him, you know, 80% of your time should be spent on the 20% that give you your revenues, but he still wanted to go to Chile and open up that market. So I said, okay, you know, as long as you don't spend too much time on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's not where your revenues are coming from, not where your skills are. It's where your family is, and it's where you're from. But so He listens well. We've worked out the difference in, you know, how to do business, you know, cross-border business, not take the folders with him. How do you do that? Do it mostly electronically. He's doing the 1242s. He likes it. He's just adapting it to his model. I think it's going to work. It's going to work
this time. Okay. I'm curious because obviously there's other people that do offshore business, so I think that's also a kind of guinea pig for others to follow. So I want to kind of give him a little bit of time, see the results, see the feedback, so then I can start leveraging him as a role model for others.
Yeah, it isn't that we need more time for the international business because there's a translation thing a little bit, and it just takes a little more time. It's not, you know, we can't just pop across the street and meet a center of influence, and you know, we can't.
Yes.
Everything takes more time. But I would say, in terms of, I mean, you can tell me better because I think he's the kind of guy that wants to please, and he's a nice guy. So he says all the right things, but you can tell me by meeting with him whether or not, you know, the rubber is actually meeting the road, and he's seeing the benefits. You know, he'll say to me, he says, oh, yeah, it's great, fabulous, you know, wonderful. But because he's a very likable person, I just want, maybe you can do that me a favor. I can give you, say, you know, feedback on these girls because they're open, they're an open book, you know, they'll tell me everything. But I'm not sure what's totally real, and I want to make sure I'm, you know, I'm servicing him personally with what he needs. It's just a little harder.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. But I think he's also, he's a likable guy that wants to be liked, but I think he also is very straightforward. When he needs to challenge something, he will. I think he will. But
okay,
I'll stay with him. I'll get the feedback from him.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he's in those meetings with the rest of them, he's going to be getting their perspective on things and catching up on, you know, some of the concepts of enthusiastically endorsed lists, mastermind groups, and centers of influence. And I think he's getting it all. I mean, I just don't have a great story for you yet.
Okay.
I think we're still young in the, you know, new in the business process.
Yes.
But... Abe Horowitz.
Yeah.
I would love to coach him.
You would love to coach him. Okay.
He's done this whole thing. He's done the whole thing on his own.
No, he didn't. Your partner coached him.
Oh, Rob Schaefer did.
Yeah, he did a whole program. He was the first one to do the program.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he did with Rob Puhio. Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, God, this guy knows everything.
He did the program. He already completed it. He completed it. He started in April of... What was it? I think he started in April of 16. He started it in April of 16. Even before you came here the first time. So he started in April of 16, finished it in April of 17, I think, more or less. Yeah.
Now, did you sign him up? How did he get into it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been talking about this for a while before you came. I gave books to many people. We spoke about it. I made a couple of small groups. And he was the only one that really, he was the one that was, he's an eager learner. So he got excited about it, but he wanted to do it on his own. And we did a conference call with you too. You did a video conference in one of my FA meetings. To be honest, didn't work well. but it helped to get the word out there, etc. So he helped me to talk about it. So he wanted to do it on his own, and then I convinced him to hire you guys. And I don't know how he ended up with the other Rob. I guess in the So and then Roxanne and Ricardo were the other ones that also were excited about it back then, and they kind of started to do it on their own, and then they decided to join. So if you remember, when you came the first time, Abe had already completed the entire program. So
He get up and spoke and gave a great testimonial?
Yeah. But he had already done the entire program with Rob.
Yeah. I mean, his numbers are unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
Up 48%, up 49%. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spectacular. He's so enthusiastic, so passionate about
it. He is, yeah. So
how many, what's the tipping point for you in terms of getting, I mean, how many do we need to get trained to it really moves your numbers?
That's a great question. I think the more the better. So how many to really move the numbers? I would say to have a significant impact, probably another 6 or 7 teams, at least. But I think that even those that are not formally engaged, so I keep repeating the same message over and over again, right? So yesterday we have an FA meeting, and I keep talking about financial planning, about client engagement, having a process or system. So what I want them to understand is, okay, maybe not everyone is going to join the program, but at least you need to implement the same processes. And for example, what I was showing yesterday, last year, one of the things I put out there as a goal, an aspirational goal, is that every FA should end the year with at least $1 million in NAA. That's something I started last year. So last year we finished with 35 FAs with at least $1 million out of 60. And this year so far, this is a statistic I showed yesterday, we already have 33 FAs with at least $1 million in NAA. So what I'm trying to say is the results, there is a ripple effect, right? Even if people don't formally do the program, because they hear everyone talking about that, they hear me talking about that. So there is a ripple effect in the office, anyways. But obviously it's much better if they do the program. So I would say, I mean, I'm hoping that maybe in this way we get another 4 or 5 teams doing it. Which would be great, and I think there's the potential for that. If every 6 months we have 4 or 5 teams enrolling, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's my dream. I know, you know, it's a great dream. I mean, literally, we could have 80% of the FAs in the office doing this.
Yeah, so... And again, listen, if we somehow are able to show, and I get it that results, numbers is not everything. It's not what tells the story of numbers. So cases like Amelia, Mizanu, I mean, you can see it on their voice, on their enthusiasm, and the Puerto Rican guys, and Rick and Roxana. But I think that eventually if those turn up into numbers that we can tell, like Abe did, maybe a year and a half after the year, after they finish the program, or maybe 6 months after they finish the program, we can start to show some actual numbers and specific success stories that I know, for example, Mizanu is having and Amelia is having, and then that's going to be much more powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So ideally, we can see some numbers backing up these guys maybe in the next 3, 4, 5 months. The guys that will be completing the program now, and we start to see some numeric results, then that's a huge tailwind.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Have another guy that I think would be perfect for this, and he's pretty excited about it. It's Greg Gelber, so I just need to push him a little bit more. He just inherited a book from his partner who left the firm in December. And basically double his business. So I told him last week, this is the perfect timing for you to do it. You inherited a new book of clients. You need to get organized and you need to retain all these clients. So and he's excited. He liked it. He read the book. So he may be one that may join. So I'm going to try to make sure that he does a call with you at least.
Excellent. The other thing I wanted to talk about was recruiting. This is a wonderful tool to use for recruiting. think about it. I mean, you offer it as a perk, as part of the recruiting package.
Mm-hmm.
But it establishes you as dramatically different from what is out there. It's very hard for people that have never had a coach to understand what a coach is. Meaning you. You're a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, come to Morgan Stanley and I'll be your coach, right? And they go, yeah. You know, and you say, so what do you ask of your manager now? And they say, just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you always hear, right? That's what I call a green light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What that guy is saying is, I see absolutely no value in my manager. And he just, in fact, I see him as a negative. So if I can just stay out of my way, I'll be okay. And then you show him what you're able to do in conjunction with this program, and that you're going to be his coach forever. I'm going to be his coach for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're the coach forever, right? And he's just going to – it's going to dramatically make his life better. Now, if somebody doesn't understand that, buy into it, think about it, make sense, he's probably not the right recruit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just after the money or something. But if somebody genuinely wants to get better and hears about you, and your FAs are your best recruiters, by the way.
Yes.
That's where your introductions should all come from. But then they hear about you, now you back it up with, this is what I'm going to do for you. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I think part of the game is to have them have some skin in the game. So,
absolutely.
I don't know exactly how to handle that, but I've used it myself, obviously, in recruiting, and it's pretty powerful. But think about it: when somebody comes over, why did you leave XYZ firm? Well, look at what I can do for you now. Over here, this is what I'm going to do for you. Financial planning, 1242, rapid response to problems, blah, blah, blah. It changes, and then they hand them a folder, and our world is different here. So that's what you're selling. I mean, you teach your FAs that people buy differences, they don't buy similarities. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you teach them that's why you come here, because it is different. That's the big problem, right? It's the same at every firm. Why should I move, right?
Correct. Yeah.
This place, we're not administrators here. We're leaders and we're coaches. And everybody's here to serve you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good story.
I think it's a really healthy.
Yeah.
You're going to get the right people who want to come, and therefore you're going to build a team, a collaborative team of people helping each other. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. You're going to be very different in your market, you know. You're going to be very different in the country.
Well, let's see. We're working for that. So far, things are going well. We are growing. The office is growing fast. It's the fastest growing office here in the complex. Like I told you, we're ranked number 2 for the entire country so far, in just as of the end of January. So things certainly started in the right path. And the guys are excited. And I told them yesterday, I don't know, but I'm sensing that this is one of the biggest opportunities I've seen for us at Gathering, for the right of faith to grow their practice. I don't know what is going on, to be honest with you, but I mean, the opportunities that I see talking to a face, and the opportunities they are dealing with, and the assets that our own clients have outside, and it's just tremendous, both in the domestic world and the offshore side.
You've got a gold mine there. Okay, I'm telling you, you got a gold mine. What was revealed by Amelia today, I just couldn't believe it. Okay, so you know, we need to utilize Rob Schaefer some. And here's what I will also tell you. Okay, I only work 2 days a week, right? Because I'm, you know, we're both. I'm at that stage, right? I don't want to.
Yeah. Playing golf and tennis. I get it.
So I'm full right now. So we can fill up Rob Schaefer, but he only works 1 day a week, okay?
Okay.
But I will for you, seriously, I will work another half day, okay? Because I really want you to succeed.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm serious. I think we got a chance to just crush it, okay? Because with you and your team and the support you have and people like Abe just ringing the bell and Amelia and the rest of them, I think you got a chance to really rock and roll here. You're doing great now. I think you're just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we could sign up 6 more people, it would probably take another half a day of my world. So I would probably work, say, a Friday morning or something, because I typically don't play golf on Friday. So anyway, that's available. Okay.
Okay.
That'd be maybe 3 more slots. Maybe I could get 4. But you know, I'm coaching 6. I got 6. 6 on Monday and 6 on Wednesday. That's a lot.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
6 hours. You know, it's really hard to do more than that. And most of the calls are like this. You know, I contract for half an hour and I give them an hour. So mm-hmm. you end up being back to back to back to back. So it's fun, and you can tell I'm really excited about it. But I don't want to lose any momentum here. I want to keep it going. I think we've got a unique formula where you signed up for coaching as a leader and then we had the 2 meetings. I think that's a genius thing. I think it changed the whole thing. I think it kept you going, and I think the meeting, the testimonials will keep the momentum going to get to the other people.
Yeah.
So then
what I need to do is make sure I use those open slots that you have before they get filled. So let's put our hands to the work, and then we'll tell people you need to wait. There's no availability, which is also a good marketing strategy. Say, hey, no, there's no availability. You have to go on the waiting list.
Right. I always tell the FAs, I said, don't go and ask for their business. Yeah, I want to compete for your business. Say, look, our team is going to be taking on 3 or 4 new families this year. We'd like you to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I try to
seem a little bit exclusive and hard to get.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good, Nico.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's what else? I mean, this 5-step process, I liked it. I'm trying to implement some things. I don't want to break too many things because you know how it is. You lose focus. So my biggest focus is keep talking to people about prospecting and the opportunities to gather assets. I want them to stay focused there. And then the other thing I'm trying to focus on is have them do financial planning. Because I think that's probably the best opportunity that we have, and we have people, Morgan Stanley created these roles with advisors, associates, that basically all they do is run plans for financial advisors. So it's a no-brainer. They only need to provide them with a couple of names, and they can do everything from gathering information to running the plans, to joining the meeting with them. I think there's a huge opportunity. That's the low hanging fruit. So that's where I'm putting my energy. I want to make sure that we enroll hopefully 4 or 5 teams with you. I think that's going to have a huge impact, and just keep working hard.
It's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I'm excited. I don't think we ever spoke, but for whatever reason, I think it's part of the excitement, right? I'm getting to the office earlier, and I'm more focused. I'm excited about coming to work. The TMA was a little all over the place. I could skip a day to play some golf. I would. No, I don't really care. Just focus on trying to have a great year, to achieve things here. So it feels great, to be honest with you.
Nico, you're changing lives, okay? And when you're done with this thing, whenever it is, you're going to look back, and it's going to be the lives that you changed and the people that you helped. That's what the whole thing is about. The money will come, the promotions and all the rest of it. But the most important thing are the people you helped. And this is right now the time when you probably will have the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Actually coaching people and helping them. It's the most fun. That's why I kept doing it, even though I ran the big 14 state district and everything. I still went into offices and I'd coach one team every time I'd go into an office. I'd go into the state of Oklahoma and I'd coach one team in the state. You know, I'd keep going back to that. I'd go back to that same team each time and coach them while I was there on my visit. And it just gave me great satisfaction. Of course, I coached the teams back in Indianapolis, too. So I never quit that. I never quit recruiting. I'd recruit when I'd go. I'd go visit. You know, I'd go to Oklahoma, and I'd have them set up some recruiting meetings. I'd have a couple of dinners, and then I would and I'd coach teams. I'd have a meeting. I'd have a meeting for the sales assistants and a meeting for the manager, for the FAs. But I'd always coach. Because I want to teach the manager how to coach.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Excellent.
Good job.
Well, I'll see you. I'll talk to you. I'm going to find out about Andres, and we can talk about it next week, next month.
Yeah. Just check in with your folks privately and see, you know, and let me know if there's anything I can do or anything that you need, you know, that I can help with.
And I think we are all set for this meeting that we wanted to do in October, right? That's I think Cindy put it put a place. Yeah, the best of the best, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. That's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Well, tell me, you know, when we'll get closer to that, you can tell me how you want that to go.
Yeah.
In your best interest, in the best interest. I mean, putting your people up there on stage, giving testimonials is very powerful. It makes you look pretty good. Okay.
Yes. So I told them that whoever has the best numbers to show between now and October will be there on stage doing the testimonial.
You're like my younger brother. You're perfect.
You have to make them compete, right? Ernie.
I have them. Oh my God! You know, we had a golf tournament where you had a member. You know, you had the ability to where you could play with a jet. You know, play with a pro, right? It was a pro am.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, the manager can take it or anything. No way. I never played in that. Even though I'm an avid golfer and I would have loved to. I had a contest. Asset gathering contest to see who could play with the pro, right? it was worth like $5,000. And these guys, some of the golfers that never paid attention to anything, killed themselves during that period. So they could play with Arnold Palmer or play with the best. So it was the same thing. Any chance you get, have the guys compete. It's fabulous for them.
Yeah. But we'll see. Of course, Abe wants to be there. He loves that.
Oh, Abe will win, trust me.
Yeah.
He will win. He'll just, you know what you do to him? This is really bad. This is, you keep Abe posted, okay? You say, you know, you keep the number. Let everybody know what the numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep it a secret. You know, you say, who's got the best numbers? We'll just go up to Abe and say, you know, what's his name? Andres is really doing great in this thing. He's cool.
Right. We'll see. Yeah.
I was bad that way. I had them killing themselves over. But you know what? They all made a lot more money than they did, and they always did the right thing. It was always good. It was good, solid work.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, my
everyone
friend.
Benefits and we have fun along the way, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, never give away anything for free. Make them work for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.